Thank you, John and Beth, for playing. When I mentioned that Tom Sisk was with the Gideon organization, I don't suppose that any of you were left with a question mark, what is the Gideons? If you've been in any number of motel or hotel rooms and pulled out the drawer on the bureau or the nightstand, or sometimes on top of the stand, there is a New Testament or a Bible. When I was in, I think it was the fifth grade, Tom, I remember then they allowed them to come into the classrooms, and they distributed New Testaments in the state of Maryland. Today, I don't think they'd let you on the school property, sorry to say, but they still are able to stand off campus and hand out New Testaments, and I still have that New Testament that you gave me then. Not you, but your people from the Gideons. But the Gideons aren't limited just to the 50 states. They're actually all around the world. It's amazing how God has used this particular instrument, this ministry, to get God's word around in any number of languages and nations. And Tom, I'm going to ask you, if you would, as you come up today, just to tell us a little bit about yourself and how God maybe brought you to faith, but also how he connected you with the Gideons, and then unfold the Gideon ministry to us, and then share some of those other things that would encourage us as to how God's using this organization to get his word in the hands of a number of people, bring them to faith, build them up in the faith, and encourage us that way. Would you do that? Thank you so much. We're glad you're here, Tom. Thank you so much for coming.
Nice to be here. I do have this on. You got me down? Okay, good. Brother Dan has said, my name is Tommy Sisk, Thomas Leonard, whatever. I'm from originally, my ancestors originally from Trick County, one of my ancestors. My mother was raised on the South Road, and she was a Patterson. And my dad was from Todd County, and he come down here with his brother or somebody and dated, and on a blind date, and he said he was going to, after he had that blind date, he was going to marry that woman, and he did. Is this probably the Bible you were talking about, a red one?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Okay, all right, that's great. I'm, like he said, I'm from Hopkinsville. I am retired right now. I used to farm, still in, have some interest in the farm. The land. I drove a truck and retired from that. And as I was almost 8 years old, because I was raised in the church, my mom and daddy, my mother and daddy went to church, and it was that time that you did not say, "Well, I don't think I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like you didn't do that." Now, some of you younger ones, if you do that. We didn't do that when we was growing up. And I think some of you middle-aged men will testify to the same fact. Mom and Daddy said this time when Sunday morning came, you got up, you ate breakfast, you got ready, y'all went to church, Sunday school and church, you did Sunday night and then Wednesday night. But at the age of 7, the Lord was dealing with me, and I didn't know how much until in June we was combining wheat on the Newton Farm, which is where Stanley Humphrey farm now. They call that the Newton Farm right across the road there. Daddy, we lived over in the, on a 5-acre spot there, but Daddy worked that farm. We called it Newton Farm. And we were combining wheat and baling straw, and a big storm came up. Lightning, thundering, rain, wind blowing, and the dust and everything, make you, you know, get you all black and everything. And we got in the truck and got everything together, got in the truck and went to the house, and it just was storming. And I was scared to death. And my mother, she told me, she said, "Son," said, "all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he'll take care of you." And I did. I've been under conviction, and I did. And the sweet, sweet peace that came over me, if you've had debts, you know what I'm talking about. And I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior at the age of 7, almost 8 years old. So I've been almost 60 years it's 59 years that I've been a Christian. Of course, we don't always do what God would have us to do, and from that point on, but in later years, I was trucking, but you always want to do what you want to do. In 1992, I made a deeper commitment to my Lord and said, Lord, I'll do what I can to serve you and do the best that I can, and put you on the front of the shelf instead of on the back of the shelf. And, of course, we still fail from time to time, but ever since then, I've tried to serve him to the best of my ability. About 5 years ago or something, I was asked to go to a Gideon new members meeting. And my wife and I, Linda, went, and we felt that the Lord was leading us to be involved in the work of the Gideons, and I haven't regretted a bit of it. I love to talk. I love to speak, but sometimes that you get kind of shaky a little bit. But I did take a speech class in high school. You remember Ms. Roper? Was it Nancy Roper? Well, she married David Smith. And I don't know whether her last name was Roper or not, but anyway, she married David Smith that taught it at county, and but anyway, she was from Guthrie. She was my speech teacher. I think it was the first year she came to talk back then. Anyway, she kind of helped me through some times of speaking, because you might not know it, but I was really a shy. I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid I might say something I'd get embarrassed, but now when I speak for the Lord, as long as I speak under his guidance, I'm not embarrassed. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I pleased, and it shall prosper in the things which I send it. That is the Gideon's scripture verse that we apply to our work of distributing scriptures. Of course, our main goal is to see lost souls saved as Gideon's. But we do that by distributing scriptures throughout the United States, throughout the world. Now, if you would, imagine what it would be like if you didn't have God's Word. What if you wanted a copy? And but you couldn't find one, or you couldn't afford one. What if you didn't even know that God's Word existed? Millions of people are living their lives with no access to the Scriptures. And of course, with your help and others, we are able to provide a copy of those Scriptures throughout the world. As I said, God's word will not, as his scripture says, will not return void. It makes no difference where it goes or what happened to it. A story was related last night about a man that found a Gideon scripture on top of a garbage pile. And he said it wasn't all messed up. It wasn't dirty. It's just like somebody or God laid it right on top of that garbage pile. And beside it was a page that was torn out, and that page was John 3:16. And he was kind of scared to take that Bible because he didn't want to be embarrassed, because he had been embarrassed enough in his life. And so he took that piece of paper. He read it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you would have life eternal. He folded that up and put it in his pocket, And every so often, he'd take it out and read it. He'd fold it up, put it back in his billfold. And every so often, he'd take that and read it. And finally, he became convicted of his sins and accepted Christ. And he went back to that old trash pile, and he picked up that scripture, little New Testament. And he carried it with him. He wasn't innocent. He wasn't embarrassed or scared anymore about sharing the gospel with those that he come in contact. Of course, as Gideons, we like to think ourselves, and we are a missionary arm of the church, of your church, of my church, of any church that we are allowed to come into and to speak and give you a report on what the Gideons are doing and what's going on and of that nature. We are in, as of last report, we have Gideons and organized in 194 countries throughout the world. We have distributed a total over the years since we started distributing scriptures, since I think it was in 1908, 7.1 billion scriptures that have been distributed. Last year there was almost 80 million that was distributed throughout the world. And we're shooting by 2020 of having 120 million scriptures that would be distributed throughout the world to a lost and dying world. And we are local, and the reason that we are local is because people that live in the area where there's Gideons or they're chosen, they're businessmen or professional men, it's because they know the area. They know where the people there. They know the hospital. That's why we establish camps in other parts of the world and countries or states, because the people there know them. We're the Gideons can probably go into places and establish camps and be and minister in areas where some missionaries are not allowed to go, because the people in that area are the ones that are Gideons and have the camps and are able to communicate with their own people, and that way it makes it a lot easier. But we do, the United States and our Gideons here, we provide probably almost all the finances are for the scriptures to be distributed in those countries, third world, second and third world countries, because they don't have much money. You know, when you make a dollar and something a day or 50 cents a day or whatever, you know, there's not much. But did I tell you? I think I told you wrong here. I said 7.1. I meant 1.7 billion scriptures. I said 7.1 billion. I guess that would take care of the whole thing. But I missed it. I apologize for that. And a good example is in Ecuador of this young man, Kelber Vera. And this is concerning with the drowning as a result of the lifestyle that he was living. He grew up very without any knowledge of the Bible, no commitment to God. He became a very rough and tough man. At a very young age, of course, that meant drinking and street fighting of that nature. One day he invited a friend, which happened to be a Gideon, to visit. This Gideon asked Kelber just a simple question. How is your life? Well, he didn't know how to answer that part about his life, but he knew it was a big mess. It just seemed like he wasn't going anywhere. He was sinking. And so he asked him an additional question. If you were in the water in the middle of the ocean and someone threw you a lifeline, would you accept it? Of course, the answer you would have to say is, yes, you would. All right? He said, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the lifeline. Are you willing or going to accept him as your Savior? From that point on, he gave him a scripture. Maybe something like this one. This is what we call a PTI. It's a personal worker, PW, T, a personal worker's testament. This scripture is purchased by each one of us as Gideons. We pay for this ourselves, and we give it out to those that we come in contact, that we visit, that we witness to, and we give this. And it, possibly it could have been a New Testament like this, which does have in the back of it the decision, the scripture passages to lead to the salvation of someone. And he began to read this little New Testament that he had given him. Before long, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior and became a Gideon himself. He was offered a lifeline, and he was rescued. He planted his feet on a solid foundation through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And there are so many people that are struggling to keep afloat, and they are in the need of a lifeline such as this, but not knowing where to find that lifeline. And by your prayers and your giving, you can provide the lifeline of hope and comfort to that comes only through reading and responding to the scripture. It's no telling how this little book, how many it touches. Your pastor, Brother Dan, mentioned about the motels and hotels. Also, doctors' offices, dentists, hospital waiting rooms. This has on it placed by the Gideons in memory. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But this is what you see in the motels and hotels. How many lives have been changed that were going to a motel? They were down, they were depressed. They just didn't see no end to anything, and they were going to end their lives. And they entered the motel room, and like he said, this could have been laying open on the desk, or he pulled the drawer open, but they've come upon this Bible, and they open it, or it's open, and they read it, and that scripture touches them, snaps them out of that depression, and they begin to read and read and read, and they realize that there's more to life than just what they had been doing and how they had been living and what was happening to them, that they, through God's grace and through accepting Christ as their Savior, they can overcome those difficulties, and life can go on for them and for their family. There's no telling how many lives. This here is estimated at about a 7-year lifetime period, which would touch somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,300 to 2,800 people in this lifetime. Now, when we go in and we replace these, if we're allowed to replace them, we will take the covers off, and then we'll take them to prisons and distribute them, set them out in the prisons there. So the many times that this Bible right here has changed a life and saved a life from someone from taking their own life. Though we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, Romans 15:4. As I said, your offering and your gift makes a world of difference in the lives of people throughout the world. A good example is this fellow, which happened to be a Jew. He grew up as an Orthodox Jew in an Orthodox Jewish home. By the time he was 7 years old, he had memorized the Hebrew scriptures. By the age of 9, he could speak fluently the Galilean the language of Christ. By the age of 13, he had already studied Greek. And then by 17, he was ordained as an Orthodox rabbi. By 19, he was a dean of a large rabbinical college in Brooklyn, New York. And in his career as a rabbi, he had ordained 327 other rabbis. He taught at the University of Pennsylvania and at the Harvard Divinity School. He had a doctorate in New Testament studies because he wanted. And why do you think he had a doctorate in that study is because he wanted to be able to face the enemy, as he referred to as Christians as their enemy, people that was believers of Christ. And he was thoroughly happy as an Orthodox rabbi until one night. And one night, he was in Boston on business for graduate school, where he had served as dean. And the Delta Airlines, as he said, didn't tell him the greatest favor. He says that they'd done him the greatest favor in his life. They had lost his luggage. So they had to, and he had his Hebrew Bible in there and all his other stuff and small volume of the Jewish law of that nature. For some reason that night it did not interest him that he did not have that. So he turned the television on. But that just didn't seem, he was in a motel as I guess I should say. But that didn't seem to interest him. So he began to open the drawers looking around. And what did he find? Now, he said he found a red Gideon Bible. Now, I don't know whether we have some. We might have some of these that have been red, or they were, some of the older ones were different colors. And he began to look through it. And, of course, as you know what I said, he had a Jewish background degree in the New Testament. He had read most of the scriptures of the original Greek. He had read all the first century commentaries. And so he thought, you know, he knew everything, the scriptures from forward to backwards. You know, and that's what we are sometimes. We think we know a whole lot. And sometimes it takes us, the Lord, to bring us down several notches or to bring us all the way down to get our attention for us to realize that we don't know what we think we know. We're not as smart as we thought we were. You know, there's an old saying. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to be saying anything to people that have master's or college education or master's or doctor's degree. But when education gets to the point that you've gone through and you've got such an education and you think that you have so much, the old saying is there's no worse fool than the educated fool. I don't mean to be referring to anybody that way, but I mean, that's just a saying. And you never get too old to learn whatever it is, especially about Scripture or about anything of life. We never get to the point that we know it all. And this fellow seemed to thought he knew it all at that time. And so he opened it up to John, began to read through the Holy Scripture prompting him. And by the time he got to Nicodemus, he had teaching. He was about being born again. His eyes were open. His eyes were tearing up. His body was beginning to tremble. He didn't know what to do. So he thanked the Lord that the Holy Scripture entered him that night for the first time in his life. And he spent the rest of the night going through the New Testament part of that Bible and seeing how it fulfilled all of what the Old Testament says. You know what the Old Testament is. It's a prophecy of what's the New Testament, the New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament, the prophecy. So, and fulfill all the Old Testament prophecy that he had learned from childhood. He said, I never trembled so much in my life. Nor had I been scared so much in my life. But I know that without that Gideon Bible in that hotel room, I would be lost for eternity. He said, God is good. Jesus is Lord and Savior. And he goes on to say that although he had been an academic all his life, God had him doing rescue work missions for the next 10 years. He had been toiling in the fields, bringing others to the Lord. Not because of what of anything that he had done, but because of a red Gideon Bible in a motel room. And he says, without you, Gideon's hundreds of lives would not have been touched. Now he's on the board of the rescue mission in Tel Aviv, Israel. he said, we are taking God's word there, and we are going to populate the land of Israel with rescue missions, bringing to my own people the true and living word. And that's many, many more stories about mission trips. This right here is the Green New Testament that we pass out at colleges. We gather on the campuses of our colleges, and we meet, and we disperse to different areas of the college. And some of you might have received one of these while you was in college. And we pass these out to these college students. This one right here, as right now, is what we use to pass out in the fifth grade of our schools. As of right now, in Christian County, we're still able to pass these out. We go every year along about October, somewhere in that neighborhood, whenever they allow us to come in, and we pass these out to the fifth graders. Now, if areas where they can't pass them out in the schools, and they gather on the sidewalks outside the schools or whatever, this is the sidewalk New Testament that are passed out to people or students of that area. And there are some. I've heard that they said here in Trick County they're not allowing them to pass out in schools. And they had an issue up in Muhlenberg County this past year. But thank the Lord, right now we don't have that situation in Christian County. And, of course, we know what this is. That's a military. We try to make sure we get these scriptures to the military before they go off to, when they come out of training or if they're going overseas. We try to make sure that they have one of these to take it with them in there while they're over there. A story about one young man that was had received one. He just kind of put it away. And said he went over and went to war and said it kind of got pretty rough. And he dug it out and began to read it. He began to read it and he became saved. He began to tell his friends about it. When he came back, he went to school, got him a degree and began to preach and began to lead others to Jesus Christ. So as you see what the scripture does. For a dollar and a quarter, you can buy one of these scriptures. $25 will buy 20 scriptures to be placed. Anything, all the money that we receive through church donations, through any faith fund that we as Gideons participate in, or any through our we have a card fund that we can use for to this is a memory. Like this book right here said, placed by the Gideons in memory. This is in memory cards of people that maybe your church members that have gone on or family members. And you know flyers don't last very long. You could they're $5 to buy these Bibles right there cost $5. And you can, every how many you want to buy, you can take one of these cards, you can fill it out, you got that envelope there, and then you can address it and send it to that member, that immediate member of the family, or to someone you want, someone that's close friends of that nature for memory. Then here's another, thinking of you, someone that's going through a rough time. You can do the same thing. You can send a card and send Bibles in their names. In recognition of a special event such as graduation or wedding or just anything that does a job promotion, you know, the master's degree, a doctor's degree, anything of that nature, in recognition can be used to acknowledge. And then the Bible can be sent throughout. There's no telling how many that it would touch. Those are areas that we have racks that can be distribute or be put out that you can pick up these scriptures. Those don't cost anything. You just take them out of the rack and use them to whatever you want to do. You are making a difference. On behalf of many people around the world whose lives have been changed through your gift of God's Word, the Gideon's International says we thank you. The ongoing support of Gideon's ministry will provide the only opportunity that millions of adults, children, teens will have to receive God's Word. In most of the 194 countries that we're in where Gideon served, the people cannot afford scriptures on their own. Through your help and that of some more dedicated donors and members, Gideon's have distributed, over 79 million scriptures last year. And as a result of prayers and donation, we have also passed, as I said earlier, the milestone of 1.7 billion copies of God's Word since 1908. I ask that you please continue to support the Gideon's International through your donation and your prayers. Prayers, of course, is the greatest thing that we have as Christians. And it can change the lives of many. And if you have a loved one that is not a Christian or someone you know, do not stop praying for that person. Because we never know when God is going to work on his time schedule, not our time schedule. So continue to pray for that loved one. Continue to pray for the Gideons. Continue to pray for your missionaries and your pastor. Together, let us share God's Word with the world. I want to thank you for the opportunity you've given me to be here today. I want you to continue to pray for your pastor and his wife and her surgery, and she will hopefully continue to improve and get better, because I know that's not very that's very painful. And again, I thank you for allowing me to be here. Let me get all my stuff and get it up before it all falls on the floor. I'll turn the service back over to you, brother.
Tommy, thank you very much for sharing with us today, and on behalf of the Gideons, and keeping us a bit in the know that way. Thank you very much. Let's take our hymn book and turn to a hymn just before we leave here this morning, number 97. We don't often do this at the end of a service, but I thought it'd be appropriate to sing Edward Perrinet's good hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll stand together and sing all four of these verses. Father, we do look forward to the huge eternal privilege of being in your presence with that sacred throng from every tribe and kindred and nation and people gathered together around your throne, bowing before the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, giving you the honor that is alone yours. Thank you, Father, for the huge grace you have given to us in not only bringing us to faith, but raising up ministries that have a vision for getting your word and getting you known, not only in our own language group and culture, but throughout the world. Thank you for raising up the Gideons. And while we've learned again about them today, we pray specifically for this organization that you'll keep them true to yourself, that you'll bless them, Father. May they have what they need to get your word out. Will you give them the wisdom and the courage and the grace to so orchestrate and run this ministry that it brings in increasing fruit for your namesake. Father, we thank you for this privilege today. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. May we say it together.